Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the epistle found in 1 Corinthians 10. St. Paul writes, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." This is God's word. Somewhere along the way, in the last couple of generations, parents got it in their minds that they could not tell their kids to not do something if they themselves did the same thing. So for example, if mom or dad were having sex before they were married, they can't tell their kids not to do that. If mom or dad smoke a little weed, even if it was illegal, you know, or regardless of what the law was around it, if mom or dad did that, who are they to stop their kids from doing the same thing? If mom or dad liked to go out and party, drink underage, and do things that were irresponsible, they would be awful hypocrites if they told their kids to not do that. I don't know why we as parents have become so feeble and so voiceless in that regard. They say, after all, hindsight is 20/20. We see things so clearly in the past. And our kids should have the benefits of living with us on our knowledge of the mistakes we've made in the past. I can't tell you how many times my kids have come home from school, told me about something that happened in their day, and I thought to myself, man, I went through the exact same thing when I was their age. We have blazed the trail before them. Of course, we should be there to guide them to not necessarily walk in the paths that we have gone ourselves. That's not just helpful information for Christian parents, but for all of us as Christians, because clearly not all of you are parents. Some of you have never had children. Some of you are too young to have children. All of us can learn from this example. St. Paul holds before us the example of our fathers, examples of how things should not be done. He's not talking about our earthly fathers or mothers. He's not even talking about our heavenly father. He's talking about our spiritual fathers. In this case, he's talking about Israel, who had gone before us, who in many ways are a similar people to us. You know, the writer of Ecclesiastes says there is nothing new under the sun. And we tend to think of ourselves as, oh, we're such different people than they were in biblical times. But you know what? Not really. In fact, look at how the stories between Israel and us are the same. Israel lived in slavery in Egypt, but they were brought through the water of the Red Sea, and then journeyed through the wilderness until they reached the land of promise. In the same way, each and every one of you as God's children lived in the slavery of sin into which you were born. But God brought you through the water of holy baptism. And now as we live in this wilderness of this world, we await our promised land, a new heaven and a new earth that God is preparing for us. Our stories are really the same. So we should be able to learn from Israel. Learn not to do what they have done. Paul says this in our epistle for today. He says, "Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did, were destroyed by the destroyer." Maybe some of you wonder, why do we have these Old Testament stories for anyway? I mean, there's, you know, Jesus hadn't come yet. Isn't the New Testament all that we need after all? Well, the answer is no, because the story of the Old Testament is your story as well. The people of Israel are your people. You are, after all, sons and daughters of Abraham, children of the promise, as Paul writes in Galatians. You are Israel today. They are your fathers, your spiritual fathers, who have gone before you that you might learn from their example. Today, in both our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel 33 and our Holy Gospel from Luke 13, we hear the call to repent. It's kind of a harsh word, isn't it? We don't like hearing that word, repent. Because it means being confronted with your sin and the reality of your sin. In our Holy Gospel for today, Jesus gives two examples of evil that had befell some of the people in Israel. In the first case, he tells of how some Galileans had been killed and their blood had been mingled with the sacrifices in the temple by Pilate. What a disgusting perversion of their worship. He tells a tale of a tower that falls and 18 people are killed. And he asks the question, were these people worse sinners because these things happened to them? He says, no, it doesn't matter if it's evil committed by another person or a freak accident. In every case, God's people are called to repent, to turn away from sin. You see, that's what the word repent means. The word repent does not mean being sorry for your sin. To repent literally means to turn around and go the opposite direction. To stop doing what you are doing and do the opposite. To stop doing what God has forbidden and to do the opposite. And so Jesus doesn't mince words with those gathered to hear him teach that day. When you see these things happen, repent, or you too will perish. When you see bad things happen, God is calling you to repent, to turn away from sin. When you see bad things on the news, a natural disaster, flooding and people having to leave their homes, a terror attack on U.S. soil, another shooting in a school, and you wonder what in the world is going on here, God has a word for you. That word is repent. Turn away from sin. In all things, repent. When things are going bad, repent. When things are going good, repent. When you are sick, repent. When you are healthy, repent. When things look good for you and you're rich, repent. When you're poor, repent. In all things, day in, day out, turn away from your sin. Repent, or Jesus says, you will perish. Because sin's messy, nasty business. It's ugly. It's deadly. Jesus tells a parable of a fig tree in our gospel today. A fig tree that is not bearing fruit. And the owner of the vineyard wants to cut it down and burn it because it's useless. And yet the vine dresser, the worker in the vineyard, urges the owner's patience so he can try to get some fruit from it. Thanks be to God, we have one who goes to him on our behalf and urges patience so that we would bear the fruit of repentance. We've stopped being able to call sin. We've gotten comfortable with our sin, not just the sins of our children, with our own sin. We will excuse every last thing and point to everyone else and all their faults before we are willing to say, I too must repent. How many of us come here and pay lip service every time we say, I, a poor, miserable sinner? Do you realize those words apply to you? They apply to me. We have sinned against our God. But thanks be to God, He is merciful and patient. Despite our fathers, Israel, who wandered and turned away from God, kept turning back toward their sin. They even at one point said they wished they were back in Egypt. They wanted the food in Egypt rather than that blasted manna that kept falling from the sky. God was even patient with them, and He still brought them to their land of promise. Some died along the way. Many died along the way because of their refusal to turn from sin. But patiently, lovingly, God comes to you today and calls to you through His Holy Spirit, through His Word, to say, leave behind your sin. Leave behind your pride. Leave behind your greed. Leave behind your lust. Leave behind your love of gossip about other people. Leave behind your willingness to serve yourself first rather than God. He speaks to you that word and continues to speak it to you. And to us who have heard that call and realize what wretched, miserable sinners we indeed are, He shows us grace and forgiveness in the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ, who, as Paul describes Him in our epistle, is the rock. As Israel was wandering through the wilderness, God caused water to flow forth from a rock so that they would drink and they would have life. God was merciful to them. Despite their bickering and their complaining, their griping about how miserable things were, God showed them mercy. And God shows you and I mercy. He pours out His love for us, certainly not because we've deserved it, because we haven't, but because of His great love for us in Jesus Christ. Love that we cannot comprehend. Love that is yours and mine today. When you hear words like this, repent, confess, turn from sin, you need to realize they're universal. When Jesus says repent, He means you, and He means me. Martin Luther said in the very first of his 95 theses that the whole Christian life is a life of repentance, daily, turning from sin. You know why? Because sinful people keep turning back. Just as Israel would have turned back and gone back to Egypt, back to their slavery, we as sinners who are born slaves to sin, we have Stockholm Syndrome. We loved our captivity. We continually want to turn back to sin, turn back to our evil, turn back to our wickedness. And yet, as a patient, loving vine dresser, as He's described in our gospel today, our Lord Jesus Christ continues to sound that call. Repent. Leave behind your sin. Come to Me and receive the blood I shed for you. Because His blood that He sheds is sufficient for every sin. The ones that you've forgotten about, or the ones that you can't seem to let go of. The ones that you have no problem leaving behind, and the ones that you're continually tempted to turn back toward. All of them are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Dearest friends, in Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus is our rock, who gives us water, who gives us life, who calls us to repent, to always repent, to learn from the example of our fathers of Israel who failed to repent. We repent so that we would always remain in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our rock. We repent because all of heaven rejoices, Jesus says in Luke 15, when sinners turn away from their sin and turn to their Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus, repent so that you too may know the joy that all of your sin is gone forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.